Hi everyone, I'm Wayne, host of CMO Asia Podcast, and today I'm in New York City, and we are talking to Jason Robinson, Director of Marketing at UPS. So how are you doing today?
I'm doing wonderful, Wayne. Thank you for having me.
So what brings you to the Fash Innovation event this past week where we met, right?
Yes.
First time ever. And it was the biggest fashion and technology event in New York City during the New York Fashion Week. So what are you up to at the event, and what's going on currently?
Well, at the event, it was really to just gain some exposure within the fashion industry. Talk about different things that UPS is doing from a sustainability perspective and how that relates to the fashion industry and in general, all industries and anybody that we partner with as a company. So we were spreading the word there. We had a table there. We were meeting and greeting people and meeting new businesses and business owners and startup companies. It was a very successful event. We were very happy.
And it was an incredible panel that you were involved in.
Yes.
And we had so much value extracted from your talk, and you dropped so much value bombs. So for the benefit of those who are not present at the event, maybe later on you can summarize for us some of the key points that you mentioned. But first of all, some of us, especially our listeners, right, who are marketing professionals, CMOs, marketing directors, we are also obsessively enthusiastic about supply chains, innovation, and technology anywhere in the world. So we are also your people, yeah?
Oh, yeah.
And some of us may know a little bit about you from your LinkedIn. And we know your marketing business background is in leading a creative and innovative and also transformational team to cultivate, build, and empower businesses, right?
Correct.
So your team fosters a lot of strategic partnerships and networking across a business supply chain to maximize opportunity and disrupt the future, and also working across incredible 8 industry verticals. And correct me if I'm wrong, okay? The verticals are consumer goods, apparel, professional service, healthcare, automotive, industrial, manufacturing, and high tech. Am I right?
Correct. You nailed it.
All right, so maybe let's just dive straight into what was the discussion topic that you covered, and maybe you can help us to summarize what was discussed about during the panel.
Okay, so the panel really discussed and talked about the topic of the panel was fashion in logistics is sustainable, right? So really, it's about how to, number one, what do we do as a company, UPS, to make sure that we have sustainable practices ourselves internally. As you can imagine, as large of a transportation company as we are, we've got a lot of responsibility as it relates to our carbon footprint and our impact on the earth and in the communities that we serve. So we talked a lot about that, talked about some of the things we do internally there, and then talked about how we then take those same learnings that we have with things that we do internally and how do we translate those into valuable solutions and partnerships with our customers, small, medium business customers, large enterprise customers, really across the spectrum there, in trying to make sure that we're doing our part, also adding value to the current partnerships that we have with our customers and potential new customers.
That's fantastic. And we know that UPS was front and center in helping small, medium businesses, right? Not just at the Fash Innovation Show, where you know you introduce your brand, your products and services, and of course you make logistics one less thing to worry about on the path to success for all these businesses.
Correct.
So you provide business of all sizes with all these opportunities and more opportunities to grow internationally, right? So can you expand on how UPS achieved that? And you mentioned about sustainability as well. So could you uncover for us some creative ways to drive results for your business partners?
Yes, of course. Well, a couple things that we do from specifically along the lines of smaller businesses, small, medium businesses within the United States who aren't shipping or selling or going international with their products or supply chain, and try to demonstrate we've got some tools that we help them determine from a digital perspective and the web and e-commerce what they're missing out on and how many people are viewing their websites from outside of the United States. And what we can do to help them expand that and start selling to companies outside of the United States. And in order to do that, obviously, we've got to be in those countries as well. So we're in over 220 countries worldwide and provide many services across the broad spectrum of the globe. And we're also a fully integrated shipping company, which is, we're one of the only fully integrated companies where we basically can handle any mode of transportation, air freight, ocean freight, small package, LTL, full truckload, and pretty much from sea to shining sea.
That's amazing. And we know that you are in charge of so many verticals and you lead teams to take care of them. So who are your favorite UPS clients out of so many verticals? Is it fashion?
They are all our favorite. There is no favoritism with the client. But you know, some of the key industries, like as a business that we consider to be that we focus on heavily, the healthcare industry comes to mind. That's a very up and coming, strong growing industry that's transforming as, you know, the demographics of the world become a little bit older and medicine gets more technologically advanced. You're seeing a lot more home health activities that are going on, and when you have home health, you got to be able to get product and different things to the homes from there. So, you know, this past year we launched UPS Flight Forward, which is our drone division.
Wow.
And we've launched and actually gotten FAA, which is Federal Aviation in the United States, approval for drone delivery to residences as well as businesses. And we're already live on a number of medical campuses in the U.S. doing drone deliveries from one end of the campus to the other end of the campus, plus saving significant amount of time and how much time different blood samples and things like that can get from one place to another. And that's been very successful, and that's continuing to expand going into 2020. And then we're also doing a program with CVS, which is a local pharmacy here over the counter, and looking at delivering prescriptions for them via the drones as well. So it's very exciting. That's a very exciting industry for us right now, just from the innovations that are going into it.
This is brilliant, and we are excited. And maybe you can tell us more about the future of electric deliveries, because you mentioned about drones. How about electric vehicles as well for last mile delivery? How do you also convey or communicate this message of the transition to clean energy, for example? How do you get there while preventing and mitigating waste to your UPS clients? And are there any risks in marketing these messages?
There's always risks in marketing any message, but we do right now, I think close to 10% of our package car fleet is some type of alternative fuel or electric vehicles. We've got plans to make sure that 25% of the new vehicle purchases that we're going to purchase are also alternate fuel vehicles. We're converting a number of our existing diesel fleet to alternate fuel as well. We've made commitments on CNG gas and RNG gas, which, you know, obviously burn at much less fossil fuel impact to the environment. And so those are a lot of things we're going between now and 2020 and 2025. We've got significant efforts going into that to reduce that. We're also, I believe, our entire fleet in London is electric.
Wow.
So those trucks are all electric. We've also launched in the United States four or five different cities where we're doing pedal assist electric bikes for deliveries where it's dense enough for us to do that. And a lot of that's already taken place in other countries in Europe as well. Like there's a couple places in Germany, I believe. And so a lot of efforts there.
This is amazing, and the future looks so exciting. And of course, the sustainability and innovative last mile delivery solutions are a key focus for UPS. So how do you get this message out to your UPS clients?
Well, we do have a UPS / sustainability website. So we do produce an annual sustainability report. We just launched a blog called UPS Horizons, which is public viewed, which talks about all the different press releases and things that we're doing from a sustainability perspective. And then the other thing that we do is we offer to our clients a program called carbon neutral shipping.
Right.
And so with carbon neutral shipping, that allows a client or anybody, if you went on the UPS website to generate a label today, there would be a little checkbox when you're generating your label that says, do you want to make this a carbon neutral shipment? And if you pay 5 cents additional, then that becomes a carbon neutral shipment. And then we take that 5 cents and we put it into about four different programs that we're in, a carbon offset programs that help offset that carbon impact.
That's really amazing. So maybe we'll deep dive a bit more about this supply chain and logistics, specifically for the fashion industry. Your topic was fashion is logistics via sustainable practices during fashion innovation. So the ongoing theme at the event was sustainability at fashion innovation. So consumer textile waste may be the largest problem, right, at this moment, but the pre-consumer supply chain has its own wasteful practices built into the way garments are designed and produced. What's your views on that?
That's something that that I typically talk about when we talk about sustainability, is that just because you're sustainable and you're having sustainable practices, if you're not sharing that amongst your entire supply chain, so upstream and downstream, who are the people that you do business with, that you get your products from, and who you're seling to, if you're selling to businesses, if they're not sustainable as well, then you're not completing that circle from a fully renewable perspective. So we talk to customers about that, and then we also have on the back end, as far as recycling programs and things of that nature, we do a lot with specialized returns programs that we've got capabilities on. We're partnered with a company called Opturo. That's a cloud-based solution that helps make determining factors on what to do with return products, whether it comes back and goes back on the shelf for sale, does it come back and get repurposed somewhere else, and/or does it have to get recycled or thrown away? So things along those lines. We're also doing a partnership with a company called TerraCycle. TerraCycle is a upcycling company where they take any goods that can be recycled and they determine how to upcycle those, and instead of just recycling them into another piece of the same product, they will actually use those products to create something new instead of going into a landfill, for example. And then we're also working with a company that's working with them called Loop, which is a reusable packaging system for consumer households, and being able to reuse that so you're not utilizing so much cardboard in the shipping process. Every day, as e-commerce grows, we're using more and more cardboard. There's more and more material that goes into the system that needs to be dealt with.
These are all fantastic partnerships and solutions that UPS are offering. So thank you so much for all these insights and, of course, sharing with us. And we can now put to bed now this ongoing theme about sustainability, fashion innovation, and, of course, electric deliveries and all that. Let's deep dive next in this next phase of our podcast and maybe talk about your marketing career. And, of course, we know that you have a really remarkable career journey. And what was it that made you decide to go into marketing and joining UPS?
Well, it kind of just happened, actually. I mean, I did go to school, and marketing was the area that I wanted to focus in. And then started doing that, and actually right after I got out of high school, I was able to get a job at UPS just loading and unloading boxes part-time to help pay for college, and that's how I got into UPS. And then I realized while I was at UPS that it was a very good company and very large and offered a lot of opportunities to move up once I was able to complete my education. And then that's what I did. So I worked in operations for about 8 years and then went into the sales side. And I was in customer solutions, helping customers with technology solutions. Back into sales, revenue management. I did sales manager for a while. Then I was marketing manager for a while. And then I got the opportunity to come out to New York City and be the director of marketing out here.
So you were saying, where were you born? Which place in area in the U.S. that you grew up in?
Phoenix, Arizona.
Phoenix, Arizona. Yes.
About 2,000 miles away from here.
That's a really interesting place. What's the place famous for?
The Grand Canyon.
The Grand Canyon, of course.
In Arizona, not in Phoenix, of course.
Right, okay.
And heat, a lot of heat.
It's and hot. So better weather than New York City, right?
In the wintertime, yes, not in the summertime.
Okay. That leads to the next question. How would both your parents describe what you do for a living?
they would just say that I'm very busy.
Right. Great answer.
Yes.
And I love how you described your work earlier. Those words that you mentioned and how, you started and how you eventually landed this important role as director of marketing in UPS. So maybe let's get back to that. Let's go deeper into your hometown, right, where you grew up. What can you tell us about your childhood, your earliest memory in terms of, I'm asking about your marketing spirit, right? And of course, where what else were you interested in marketing as a kid? What inspired you to even explore that industry, that particular topic of interest? And especially when you were younger, because some marketers or CMOs or director of marketing, right, they started out, you know, being impacted as a kid by certain brands that they see, like maybe Nike, Adidas, or for your case, was it UPS?
It was not. No, I've never even thought about UPS when I was a kid. And marketing when I was a kid looks a lot different than marketing does today. You didn't have the digital marketing things that you've got today, and some of that knowledge you need today is much different.
It was mostly print and ads, right?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. But what attracted me to it was, number one, I like people, so I like to engage and interact. And then number two was just the creativity of it, right?
Yeah.
Looking to do something creative, create something unique out of something maybe that someone doesn't know is unique, and how to do that. So that's really what kind of drove me to that direction.
That's remarkable. And you connected some of your pastime or hobbies and activities when you were in school. What were you active in?
Baseball, probably in school, would have been baseball.
So were certain baseball teams that inspired you in terms of their marketing or in terms of how they brand themselves? Did it inspire you to also go into this career?
In general, I would say. When I was a kid in Phoenix, they didn't have a baseball team, like a professional baseball team. So my professional baseball team back then was like the Los Angeles Dodgers was who I watched. They had very good marketing campaigns. They marketed their brand very well. So I would say they would probably be the one.
That's fantastic. So did your first job affect your career in the long run?
At UPS, first job at UPS.
So your first job was UPS, and after so many years, still at UPS.
Yes. Well, the unique part with UPS and what helped me stay here as long as I have is that you have the opportunity to rotate and develop and move into different positions, and you're not doing the same thing over and over every single day. It doesn't... continue to challenge yourself and continue to develop in different areas of the business. It keeps you fresh and keeps you motivated.
So how many years before you were promoted and switched into the marketing department?
I did a number of things on the operations side, so a number of different areas within operations, not the same thing. I came into sales, and then I went to solutions from there, and then back to sales again, and then revenue management, sales manager, that was a promotion, and then a marketing manager for about 4 years before I came out here, and I've been a director of marketing out here for about six.
So that's a long journey, right? And
yes.
Of course, now you are at this position where you're leading teams, you're actually impacting how the marketing messages go out, and also attending events and conferences to push out this message about the great innovation and, you know, services that UPS provides for businesses and partners. So it's an incredible journey. So maybe next we'll deep dive into maybe digital trends and even marketing strategies. You can tell us when you first started out in this marketing role, were you doing more prints and very little digital?
Yeah, there was definitely more of that. The digital's come on in the last 5 or 6 years. It started to be a lot more. And then we also, you know, part of the strategy part is we also have partnered with a number of digital marketing companies that we bring in and leverage with our clients also to help our clients with digital marketing as well.
Oh, that's great. So maybe let's chat about ways to increase the visibility of the UPS brand and your current innovation. So conference events are an effective way for you to push out those messages, you know, without paying millions for paid ads. Like we know, you know, Super Bowl, the cost of running an ad is really astronomical. So what has been the change in the strategy for UPS?
It has definitely been a lot more of the digital piece on our own digital emails based on customer information that we've got. And then we also launched a program back in 2011 called UPS My Choice, which is a consumer solution, where the consumer has the ability to be able to have visibility to any packages they're receiving that come from UPS, whether they know that they're coming from them or not. They don't have to order that package in order for them to see it. So that's been a very good solution for us, and that's a member system. It's free for consumers to sign up, and we're currently somewhere between 60 and 65 million members in that
Wow.
program right now, globally as
Yeah.
well. So that is a, that's been a very good program, and that's been a big way to communicate and kind of leverage our existing network with consumers and be able to also promote different things along those channels to those consumers as well.
So do you also create content for your social media, for your LinkedIn, Facebook, even Instagram, et cetera?
Me and my team here don't necessarily do that. Most of that's done through kind of the corporate digital channel marketplace. Yeah. We do obviously do a lot on those social channels, you know, in our individual roles as far as helping promote like the event that we were at, you know, being able to post that and repost it and share and get shout outs that way. And then obviously with the digital communications that we do get out of the corporate office, those then we also utilize those to push out, reshare, and try to leverage as much as possible.
So all this creation of content and resharing content on social media space, in your opinion, does social media really have an impact on the visibility of UPS innovations and solutions?
Oh, I definitely think it does. We do a lot of things with the drones that we're doing out there. We have a lot of sustainability activity on through those social channels. And then the social channels, I also think, give us a much quicker reaction to what is thought about those things, and then also anything else. If anyone responds negatively on social media, then we do a very good job at making sure that we try to address what that issue was and try to make it right as quickly as possible. So it creates a good avenue to manage customer experience as quickly as possible and try to satisfy our customers as best we can.
That's brilliant. So we'll move on to leadership questions. You can tell us whether the function of leadership is to produce, you know, more leaders in your team and not more followers, right? So when you create confidence in your team, like allowing them to ask questions, making work fun, creating an environment of developing people in your team so that you can lead and influence to even greater heights, can you tell us, are you a boss or a leader?
I would consider myself a leader.
Yeah.
That's one thing at UPS, and that's one thing that we teach in most of our leadership management, so on, is career development is extremely important. You're always looking for succession plans and people that you nurture and develop to continue on with the organization and move up within the organization. So I'm always looking for opportunities to get exposure for my team. Whether it be internally with upper management people internally that I might have more access to that they don't, making sure they get an opportunity to be present, present different solutions and things that they're working on, just to give them more exposure, because that just increases their network and increases their net worth internally. And then externally, giving them opportunities to run projects, like if I know we're going to be at that event, making sure that I have certain people that say, I want you to help with this event and help put it together, help be there, help network, and then, you know, really help to where they're the ones executing on a lot of it, and then I'm just guiding along the way is kind of the way that I like to manage that.
So as for your customer base, because you are managing so many verticals, right, how is your customer base now different compared to when you first started?
It's significantly different. Most of our business has changed dramatically over the last 20, 28 years.
Yeah.
If you just think about the growth in e-commerce and the growth in residential deliveries, most of our clients in the past, you know, back 20 years ago, they were manufacturers, suppliers, wholesalers that were selling to other businesses, right? That was most of our business. Now that's flipped to where most of our businesses are going to be on the e-commerce side. Most of those packages are going to end consumers versus other businesses, which creates a lot of different dynamics. And I think it's created, if you stay in the news and read up on e-commerce and last mile delivery and all of those innovations and things going on, it's a very exciting time to be in transportation right now and logistics, because there's a lot of disruption going on. There's a lot of change happening. There's a lot of new innovations being created, a lot of new technology being created that just enhances everything. And the one thing about UPS that I love is that we're constantly staying up with those changes and not falling behind and being in the forefront of a lot of that, which makes it exciting. But it's challenging at the same time. Competition's fierce. You got new people trying to come into the arena every single day with different concepts and innovations too. So it keeps you on your toes for sure.
That leads us to the next question. Helps you to stay fresh and sharp and creative and on top of a game? Do you have any athletic pursuit, or do you indulge in media or web or books? Perhaps you can tell us some of those examples and recommendations.
Yeah, a lot of what I do is I do a lot of podcasts. Not that I do the podcast like this, but I mean, I listen to a lot of podcasts and I follow a few people that are generally looking at just spirit, mind, and body. Really looking to, you know, talking along the entrepreneurs, leadership pieces, things of that nature that just kind of help keep my brain fresh and moving along the lines of continuing to kind of think ahead, think in the future, and be as creative as possible.
So what series are you following or binge watching right now? Because you consume a lot of content, right? Podcasts being one of them.
Yes. On a podcast or...
Maybe on a podcast or even for your streaming side, like Netflix.
Okay. Yeah. Podcast-wise, my favorite podcast, I'll give him a shout-out, is Tim Ferriss. I don't know if you...
Tim Ferriss, yeah.
I like him a lot.
One of my most admired podcasts.
Yes. I like him a lot. I was listening to his podcast this morning. So that's probably the one I listen to the most. Mm-hmm. And then there's a couple, you know, he recommends a lot of books and different things like that and things that he's watching, and I'll typically look at some of those. Netflix-wise or TV show-wise, I'm watching it's an HBO series right now called The Outsider. It's a Stephen King piece that's really good. Okay. I can't binge watch it because it's in its first season, so I got to wait a week every single time for a new episode, which drives me crazy, but I do that, so...
How we wish that they could just speed things up and release the whole season in one go, right?
Absolutely. Yeah, exactly. Just put it all out at the same time.
Exactly. Yeah, exactly. So what makes you feel inspired or like your best self? Is it through all this consumption of content like podcasts, TV shows, and books?
That helps a lot. What I really like is I like when people on my team, my managers, are successful at what they do, right? Yeah. That always makes me feel good. Having successful events like the fashion innovation event, mm-hmm. right, where it's engaging, is probably the biggest thing. It's the engagement. It's the being able to interact in a group of people, networking.
Yeah,
networking is probably one of my favorite things to do. And and New York City is a great place to do it in, because it's such a small world, and everybody you meet, especially in different circles, like in the fashion industry or the apparel and consumer goods industry, the e-commerce, that world all touches each other in some way or fashion, and so focusing on that. So if I'm able to connect one person that I met at an event last year with a person that I met at an event this year, and they have a successful engagement, then those are things that kind of help me stay positive.
That's great, and I also extract a lot of value from the Fashion Innovation event, and of course the networking was incredible.
So yes,
I wish I could be back in New York City every other month and continue to network, yeah? And of course, to build a lot of relationships where, you know, a lot of possibilities can then happen, right?
Yep.
So the next question, how would you like to be remembered in your career legacy?
As a networker, as a connector,
yes.
A successful leader, mm-hmm. a leader, not a manager.
Right.
That's probably the biggest thing. Be that right there, leader versus manager.
That's great. So we are at the last segment. We're running out of time, so we're going to speed things up by doing a speed round. Are you ready?
I'm ready, yes.
So let's start. Okay, what's your most admired marketer?
My most admired marketer?
Yeah.
I'm going to say Tim Ferriss.
Tim Ferriss, good answer. So cardio, weights, or yoga for you?
Weights.
Who are the three people, dead or alive, that you would like to have dinner with, and why?
That's a good question. Abraham Lincoln.
Two more.
Oh, three. I got to do three.
Got to do three. Yeah, and have to tell us why.
And tell quickly. You why. John F. Kennedy, Abraham Lincoln.
There's a common theme.
And my mother.
Great answer. Why?
Leadership, mm-hmm. right? Abraham Lincoln, number one, and then John F. Kennedy, just to find out if there was a conspiracy or not. And then my mother, just to have one more dinner with her.
That's great. And, of course, what's your biggest passion in life?
Family. Yes.
Great answer. And what can you remember the first brand that had an impact on you when you were a kid?
Porsche.
Great. Who's your favorite or most admired CEO?
Bill Gates.
And what else do you have going on that you want our listeners to make sure they will be on the lookout for?
I would say just from the perspective of the drone piece, and then, of course, all of the activities we're doing with the alternate vehicles and transportation, from the electric fleets, the e-bikes, those things, because those are probably some of the bigger innovations that we're coming out with as well.
And, of course, for those who have access to your events and also the conferences where you're going to be speaking at next, perhaps you can tell us what events will be you'll be present or attending next?
There's actually, I believe I'm attending an event here in New York City, and it's based on the circular economy, again, along the sustainability theme, looking at being a part of that event in New York City.
So we do want to direct our community listeners to also find you on the web, to look at the great work that you do, and on social media, especially on LinkedIn. What are your social media handles and website?
Well, obviously UPS.com, right? I would also look at UPS.com/sustainability. That's a very good website. And then LinkedIn, if you just search my name, you will find me.
Jason Robinson.
Yes, I'm on there pretty heavily. And then my Twitter is @whatwhenwy.
Cool. Thank you so much for sharing your story with us. Great insights as well. We learned so much more about UPS today. And of course, we definitely enjoy talking to you. We're going to finish this episode here. So thank you so much for coming onto the podcast.
Yep, Wayne, thank you for having me.
Thanks, Jason. Yep.